That clip strikes awfully close to home for a number of us in this space this morning. And I've sat with a few of you who have experienced that loss. And I love the way he encouraged Jack to take the sourest lemons and turn it into lemonade. Turn it into lemonade. The question we often ask is, why is life so hard? Why is my progress so slow? And why does God allow evil to have any power at all? I want to turn our attention to the scriptures for just a moment this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn in into the book of James, chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 2 to 4. The scripture says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Consider it all joy. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What is James writing here? I mean, have you ever been in a hard place? Have you ever been in a place where you really felt happy about being in that dark, dark place? No, I think that if we take the example of Jesus, he wept at Lazarus' grave. He had moments of sadness. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was sad. He was saying, "Father, if there's any other way." Ultimately, Jesus went to the cross. Was he excited to be there? Was he happy to be there? I don't think so. I think that he asked the Father if there's another way. And yet, he went to the cross for you and I. I believe it is about when James writes that we should consider it pure joy. What he's saying is, have a positive outlook. Have a positive outlook. Consider how it is that you can take this moment of lemons and make it into lemonade. Don't pretend. Don't pretend that you're happy when you're not. We can all see through that. And you can only pretend for so long. Just lean into his mercy. Receive his grace as you walk through these difficult times. There's a quote from Robert Baden-Powell that goes like this. He says, "Development of outlook naturally begins with respect for God, reverence to God and reverence for one's neighbor and reverence for oneself as a servant of God." That sounds an awful lot like our mission here at Restore, to know Jesus and our neighbors. To know is to revere. To know is to hold in high regard, to esteem, and to respect. To know is to believe as Jesus taught in John 14:20, that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. Do you hear that, folks? Do you hear that? Jesus is in the Father, and he goes on to say that he is in us and we are in him. That's where our identity stands. That's where our identity stands as followers of Jesus. Guys, pain and hardship, they're unavoidable in this life. But suffering is the prerogative of the old mind. You don't need to take on this mind of suffering. Only the old mind and only the deceiver who speak with a silver tongue, who want to tell us that our identity is not in the one that we name as Jesus and Savior, but that our identity is in the old life, in the old creation. But Jesus clearly says, "You are in me and I am in you," which makes us a new creation. It makes us who God intended us to be. It makes us who Jesus says we are. Jesus doesn't say, "If you go through difficult times." He says, "When." He says, "Whenever you go through difficult times." There's an assumption here that to live is to have difficult times. To live is to have hardship. But there's also an assumption here that to live is to stand in a place of victory. To live is to stand in a place where difficult circumstances simply draw us close. They draw us close to Jesus. We have a choice, guys. We have a choice to make when we go through difficult times. And that choice that I hope we're moving towards is that we will draw close to Jesus in those times. What does it mean when he says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance? Perseverance means to be determined, to stick it out, to stay with it. Testing causes us to really assess who we are. Testing causes us to look at the faith that we proclaim, the faith that we say we have, and really settle in and determine, all right, who am I? Who am I really? And how strong is my faith? How firm do I stand in my belief in the one that says I am his? Verse 4, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Guys, don't let things happen too quickly. Don't move out of this time of testing before it's time to move out of this testing. Stay with it till you get the healing. Stay with it until you get the restoration. You know what? Self-reliance is where we naturally go when things are good. But when the chips are down, when life is difficult, that's when we really find out what we're made of. You know what happens when somebody has a difficult time? Often you've heard somebody say, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right? Or just put your big girl panties on, right? So that doesn't last very long, though. Those sayings are just sayings. They don't mean much at all. They don't have staying power. Our staying power, our firm foundation is in Jesus Christ. Whether in good times or bad, it is our surrender. It is our surrender to Jesus in these moments of difficulty, these moments of just like, I can't even breathe. It's so difficult. When we step back and we say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, when we are in full-on surrender, when we are persevering, when we're pressing in and leaning in to the refining work that God wants to bring about in our lives during these difficult, hard days, this is the place where he grows us into maturity and wholeness, where we lack nothing, where we lack nothing. That's our setup this morning. I believe that this is a morning where healing and restoration can begin in many of our lives. And I believe it can happen when we say, this is us. This is us. This is who we are. We're telling our story. And Matt and Shelley and Brenda are going to come up now, and we're going to have a conversation about Matt and Shelley's experience over the last couple years. And I would just ask that you join me in praying as we move into this time. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning again, believing, God, that you have ordained this time and this place. It is no accident that we are here in this place, no accident that we're having this conversation. And God, I believe that you want to do something really powerful in us today. So have your way in us. Mold us and shape us into the people you want us to be. And as we mature and grow toward wholeness, we know that we must lean into you and allow you to do your work. So we pray these things in your name, and we're grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you make Matt and Shelley welcome? Yeah. So I got to know Matt a number of years ago. We've been connected here and there over the years. Discovered that he was getting married to Shelley, and I said, I think I remember saying to you one day, are you dating Shelley? Because I think she's related to Brenda. And turns out that, yeah, that was the person he was dating, and the rest is all history, and it's pretty amazing. The journey you guys have been on, it's been interesting to watch from afar and kind of tap into you guys every once in a while and see how you're doing. But what I'd like this morning is if you could take us back. Take us back, like, what brought you guys together to begin with? Maybe start there and just tell us briefly how you got together, and then take us through the last, we'll interject here and there, but let's just have a conversation about what the last 2.5 years or so have been like for you guys.
Yeah, we met on a blind date, which was quite interesting. I thought she was a couple years older than me, and We
don't get too many details about how old she is, Matt.
This is the funny part, though.
Oh, okay.
We were maybe 2 miles down the road, and we figured out that we were 9 years apart. She was 32, and I had just turned 23, and I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Jaw-dropping.
It was jaw-dropping.
Yes.
So that was but anyways, nevertheless, you know, 6.5 months later, we got married.
Truth.
That was a fast one.
So you've been married for?
Seven and a half years.
7.5 years. Okay.
So yes. You started a business when you were how old?
20 or 21.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so bring us kind of some background information on whatever you want to say about the business experience and how God just like seemed to be blessing every step you took. And I always looked at Matt as sort of like the golden boy. Like he was, I never told him this, but he was just like, he has a great head on his shoulders and is very bright. And he did a lot of things that the average person at 20 some years old does not get accomplished. So anyway, take it away.
Thank you. So we started a real estate investment company, and we started with buying and selling local homes here in the market in Elkhart and St. Joe County. And then we branched out to multifamily a couple years later, North Carolina and Texas through partnership, and buying apartment complexes. And then we also did work in through partnership building new property and new homes in Portland, Oregon. And that was probably my favorite venture that we did. Mm-hmm. And then in July of 2014, I had the opportunity to sell to my partner, which we did. And it was a bittersweet time. I had a lot of relationships with the business and the people involved, and to leave that behind was difficult, but we stepped into some other things then.
Yeah, you were on to the next, right? On to the next venture.
And during that time, we also, our daughter Willow, our youngest one, our little blonde-headed girl, we adopted her, we got her at birth, and so Stella and her are 15 months apart, they're 4 and 5, and so that was a great blessing in our life. And mm-hmm. and just during that time, into 2015, it was just, we felt like we were thriving, and at the age of 27 and 28, to just feel, wow, this is amazing, you know, look what God has done, and we were able to give in a greater capacity. Shelly and I both have a heart of giving. And so that was a really fun time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What wasn't fun about that? I mean, what? Because how old was the business at that point?
I think 6.5 years.
Okay, so you're 6.5 years in, you sell, and then your world literally gets ripped out from under you. Your world's turned upside down.
Yeah, in the end of 2015 then, which is, you know, 2.5 years ago is when it kind of started, that business filed for bankruptcy a year and a half after I left. So and obviously through that, there are people that called me that didn't even know that I wasn't there anymore, asking me questions and, you know, what do you know? And obviously I knew very little. And so this turned into a large legal situation, multiple parties involved and all trying to figure out what's going on. And so we had to retain multiple attorneys to represent us, to help us through this situation. And obviously this was very difficult. And you started looking where this was gonna go and how this is gonna impact me and some of the allegations against the previous business partner and so forth, and how this could affect me financially. And so I ended up having to get a job insulating RVs for Forest River about 6 or 7 months later. This was about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And worked myself into a double hernia, you know, after 7 years of sitting behind a desk. It's quite strenuous and you know, you never realize or think that you do something like that. You know, insulating was one of those things, I'll never do that. Why would I ever want to do that? And then I do it. And you do it with the best attitude you possibly can, and you smile, and it's not that much fun, but you got to do it, and we did. So that led into, the double hernia, so I was off work for a month, and you can take it from there.
I didn't even know about that. Yeah. Okay, so when we had a 4-hour conversation at our house, we're trying to talk fast and condense it down to like high points here. And so we're gonna try to do that. But I just wanna say that when Matt told me he was insulating, I didn't know that's what he ended up doing. And here he was thinking he was, I just wanna give you the picture. He thought he was set for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. And insulating, if you've ever worked in an RV factory, insulating is the bottom of the totem pole. So you go from the heights all the way to the depths. And one of the things that he's got is stick to it. He's got perseverance. Mm-hmm. He's got perseverance. He's stuck to it. He's very determined.
Very much. Very much. So a few months after that happened, then, you know, we're in the middle of this storm. We're being hit wave by wave, and we might feel some hope from this wave when the next one crashes against us. And there wasn't a time when it was like, oh, we have no waves. Mm-hmm. It was just one after another after another. So while we're still dealing with all of the business stuff and the double hernia, then we had an experience with our daughter, Willow, where she was playing outside. We were outside with her, and we just could not get to her in time. She was walking backwards, and she tripped, and she fell into the fire pit. And so we watched.
And there was a fire.
There was a fire, yeah. Mm-hmm. We watched as her skin melted and ran off of her left arm, all of it. So there's another wave. And we're just like, God, where are you? Mm-hmm. We've tried to live right. Mm-hmm. Where are you? Can't we even catch our breath? Mm-hmm. So we went through that. Willow recovered. You can't even tell now. We had an excellent experience with that. She is a miracle. Mm-hmm. Period.
That's awesome.
Soon after that, we ran into a situation where we were really struggling financially. We sold our vehicles, and then we sold our home. And thankfully, we had parents who took us in, so we currently live with my parents. It was just like another wave. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we can't even, you feel like, okay, we can't even take care of ourselves now. So here's another wave. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about the sense of, like, what happened to your friend network? What happened to your friend network? What happened to you? Like, how did, in those moments where wave after wave, as you said, came crashing in, did some of those waves challenge your thinking about who you are as a person? Like, did some of those things... How did it work for you to question your own, like, because I'm thinking in your position, you may be saying, well, maybe I did do that, or maybe the allegations, maybe they are true. Like, did you question your own confidence, your own sense of integrity,
truth,
maybe?
Or even truth, yeah.
Well, if you know Matt, you know that he is the picture of integrity. He is character. Mm-hmm. I never questioned it. I knew that I could stand behind him and push. I knew that he needed that. But I never questioned who he was. Mm-hmm. And through this, we have been shaken to the core, to where we really found out who we are inside. We also found out who God is. Mm-hmm. Because it isn't until you can hear stories all day long, but until you are shaken to the core, that's really, I believe, where you meet the mm-hmm. heart of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you didn't question Matt. Did you question Matt?
Very much. Yeah, you question everything that you ever did. You look at yourself, your character, did I do things right? You look at mistakes that you may have made or didn't make, or people say that you did, and your close friends, you wonder what they think of you, and there's just question marks. Mm-hmm. And you know things are going, but it take it's for lawsuits, it sometimes is a process, and as that began to unfold, we began to recognize that things were post my tenure there at the company, and brought better clarity, and people were able to start figuring out kind of what was going on. But yeah, it's like you get tore down as a person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you think that everyone's looking at you. And then the only place that I looked was up. It's like, okay. So you get to the point where I didn't really care what anybody thought anymore. Absolutely. It's like, doesn't matter. Absolutely. Doesn't matter what I read online. Doesn't matter if someone calls me and says, I'm this terrible person or I'm this good person. Doesn't matter if a compliment is true or not or whatever they say. What does God think of mm-hmm. me?
Amen.
Who I am as a person. People judge us off of our actions, and we judge ourselves off of our intentions. Mm-hmm. And so I know what my intentions are, and God does. And so we're all accountable for our own decisions and mm-hmm. things that we do in life.
Mm-hmm. So you had said like during the middle of this time is like, where is God? So how did you find him? Like you said, we really found God, but what does that mean?
You can find God when you, it is a promise in the Bible that if you seek me, absolutely, you will find me. So seek. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. We spent time praying, time reading, time doing studies like Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind, because it was true. That's where mm-hmm. so much of the battle was really in our minds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we put time into that stuff. You recite verses, you print copies of them, you put them all over the house, mm-hmm. you keep a handy binder, you take it with you wherever you go, and when you're attacked, you get it out and you read it. And you read it out loud, because Satan, he hears your words. He doesn't absolutely know your thoughts. He hears your words, so you speak truth to him. Mm-hmm. And you really ground yourself, and you find out what you're made of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're human, right? Mm-hmm. They're human, and the human tendency is to believe the lies that are thrown against mm-hmm. us. And what you yes. did was place your feet firmly on the foundation yes. of Jesus and what he says about you. So it's really like all wrapped up in your identity is how you're responding to this. Mm-hmm. Did you ever think about leaving him?
Never. Never. In fact, at the very beginning of it, he sat me down on the couch and he asked me, are you going to stay or are you going to go? Because he could foresee that it could get ugly. Mm-hmm. And there was never any hesitation. Matt has never given me any reasons to wonder anything. Mm. So if you are a man, don't give your wife any reasons to wonder anything. Yeah. Be true. And just do it. Because then when the storms come,
true,
you will have her. So I could look at him that night. I remember it very clearly. I could look at him that night and say, where would I go? I will be the one to drag you through this. Period.
And she has.
Yeah.
When she said that when we were having dinner, I said, well, that sounds just like my wife. And there's some strength in these women. That's awesome.
I read a quote by Lisa Brevere that says, marriage is not, because we are talking about marriage and relationships.
Yes.
It says, marriage is not a promise to always stay in love. It's a promise to always love. That's true. We took our vows and we meant them. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if the feelings are all mushy-mushy all the time. Mm-hmm. What matters is till death do us part.
Mm-hmm. I told Brax that when I'm, that it's his time to come up to close the service when I talk about the following quote that I have that I want to just tag onto that, because that's so, it's exactly this, it needs to be said now. When I, so don't go up yet. The, when a couple years ago I read the book Captain Corelli's Mandolin, it's by the author Louis de Bernier, and I have used this quote in every single marriage wedding that I've officiated, and I'll continue to do so. Because this is a quote where the father is talking to his daughter. His daughter fell in love with a soldier, an enemy soldier. And he could see what was going on. The father could. And so he says to his daughter, he says, love is like, love is a temporary madness. It's like a volcano that erupts and then it subsides. And when it subsides, you have to make a decision. You have to work out whether your roots are so entwined together that you could never conceive of parting, because that is what love is. Love is not breathlessness. It is not excitement. It is not the promulgation of eternal passion. No, that is just what being in love is, which any fool can do. Love is what is left over when everything else is burned away. Mm-hmm. Love remains. Mm-hmm. To those that truly love, they have roots that grow toward each other underground. And when all the pretty blossoms have fallen from their branches, they find that they are one tree and not two. Mm-hmm. That's what you just talked about. Is that you made a decision that your roots were so entwined together that it was inconceivable that you would ever part. And at the crux of this, that's your strength. That's your strength, is that you've based, first of all, based your marriage in the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, you have determined that no matter what, we're one. We're one. And I love that about you guys. You talked about the, you called it PTSD. And we often think of PTSD as being something that soldiers experience coming home from the battlefield. But honestly, we're in a battlefield as well. And sometimes the trauma, well, I'll let you speak to it. I'll let you speak to that a little bit.
Yes, it's often thought of just more as soldiers coming home from battle. And that is...
That's kind of, you were in a battle.
We are in a battle. Mm-hmm. Still. I was actually at a wedding this past summer, and this gentleman named David started talking about, he was a soldier, and he started talking about the things that he had to deal with. And he was actually the person who, he explained it, and it made sense to me, and I realized that I was dealing with it. There will be times, you know, sometimes you have a bad memory and you kind of, you can like close your eyes and get away from it. And with PTSD, it's totally different. You visually re-see things, and it doesn't matter if your eyes are open or closed. It doesn't matter if you're awake or if you're sleeping. And it's very real. It's, you're reliving it. And through this, I can still see one angry person who came to our door. And he thought no one was home, so he was looking in the front window. And it was so traumatic for me. It was right after things started crumbling. And I knew he was angry. And I knew that my kids were sleeping. And I knew that Matt was busy. And here's this man looking in our house. Mm-hmm. And there are times that I still see that. There are times that I can still hear Willow scream. I can see the skin running off her arm. There are things that you just can't get away from. And more recently now with Matt's hand, there are times that I can't not see that. Mm-hmm. It's just there. Mm-hmm. I can't not see it. And it's something that I think typically it isn't even discussed in churches. It's like, you know, we're taught you have the mind of Christ, and mm-hmm. we do. But sometimes there are issues, and you have to work through those issues. And if I have pneumonia, I'm going to take antibiotic, and I'm going to address my lungs. And sometimes I need to address my mind
right. And
get help when help is needed. And so there have been times for both of us when we have to say, oh, no, this isn't right, and we need help. Mm-hmm. And we get help.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's so good. Mm-hmm. Matt, will you tell us what happened to your hand? So this was just, so you've had the situation with your business, then you had a double hernia, and then you had your daughter Willow's situation. In the process, you lost your home and your car, your vehicles. And then this past November, right?
Right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
day before Thanksgiving, I was building something for my little kids, a little barn. And I was cutting the last piece of wood.
It's always the last piece.
Why? And I was going to go in and eat some breakfast. And it was 8 o'clock in the morning. And my hand went through the table saw, board kicked out, lost most of my thumb, cut through my index finger, my middle finger. I didn't hit the bone, but tendons and nerves, and then most of my ring finger was detached, and I lost my pinky. So I go into the house, and we go to the hospital and so forth, and my brother-in-law, Rod, is tasked with finding my digits, and through prayer, he was able to find them and bring them to the hospital, and they sent me to U of M, where they spent 10 hours that day, multiple doctors putting my hand back together. So it's getting better. It's been 3 months now, and so that obviously has greatly impacted my holidays and going into the 2018, and you just start wondering, okay, what's next, and how is this going to work now? Mm-hmm. It changes your life a little bit.
My goodness, yeah.
Right.
So we are rapidly approaching a time when we need to close. But what I wanted to, and we're just touching the tip of the iceberg. Give us some last thoughts about.
Like, what would you want to tell
injustice.
Somebody?
Yeah, and how have you dealt with what feels like injustice in many ways, Forgiveness is such a huge piece of how we deal with the difficult circumstances in our life, because sometimes those things that happen are the result of people, of humans, right? And so can you talk a little bit about that piece? Because I think all of us would benefit from kind of hearing how you're processing some of that. The beauty of this is that this is not done.
Right.
They're not in a place where everything's free and clear and everything's great. They're still in process. Mm-hmm. And I love that you're here telling us about this. So,
what would you say, Matt, like, to all that?
Yeah, it's difficult. You know, when you have people that are really close to you and you know for years and you think you know their character and their integrity, and all of a sudden they're doing things that, you know, would go against what you believe they would do or say, and it's very difficult to reconcile that. So we had to kind of take a step back in some regards to some of those relationships that we didn't understand. I tried to figure it all out. I got to a point where I was like, God, I don't understand it anymore. You do. I need to be able to forgive. And it's a process that we go through. And the best thing that I knew to do was to start praying for them. And there were short prayers. and you don't really know what to say. You just say, God, I just pray that, you know, Lord, help me forgive them.
Right.
I don't want to hold this against them, this offense. And choosing to forgive, and has taken a long time. But through prayer and just praying for them is one of the biggest things that I was able to do to get through some of those.
What has happened in terms of humility and grace? What have you learned about that? Is there anything that you want to say to that? Because I think that's a great piece as well about all of this.
Yeah, you know, the Bible says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, and they're opposites. So pride to me is someone that just, he thinks that he can do it all himself, and it's about me. And my strength comes from me and my talents. We need to recognize that, no, humility is being confident in my identity in him, and that all the gifts and strength that I have was given to me.
Yeah, that's right.
And I do everything in life that's significant and has eternal value through the power and the gifts in my life that he put there. Mm-hmm. And it's operating in being rooted and grounded in Christ. Mm-hmm. And taking a stance of, hey, listen, you don't fall very far when your knees are on the ground and your face is in the carpet. Mm-hmm. And when you go through difficult times in life, that's where you end up at.
Yeah.
You know, many times in your office, in your room, all by yourself. That's where I end up at, laying flat on on the floor. And in those quiet times, and it's really leaning into God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Such a good word.
There are a couple of verses that have really helped me during this time.
Perfect.
And one is out of Hebrews, and it says, now we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul that cannot slip, and it cannot break down under whoever steps upon it. Mm-hmm. And if you can hang on to that hope and you can anchor yourself to that, it can come wave after wave after wave. Mm-hmm. It can, and you can stand. You can hang on to that anchor. And then the other one is out of Philippians. Now I want you to know and continue to rest assured that what has happened to me has actually only served to advance and give great force to the spreading of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And we have chosen that that's where we're standing, that it happened. Sometimes life is messy, and that's the truth. And it happened, and it's not going to wreck us. Instead, we're going to use it to propel the gospel and to try and reach people and give them hope.
That's awesome.
And with that, I am just removing all of my closing comments, because that's a great way to close. And I am grateful from the bottom of my heart for your time here with us this morning. This is their first experience speaking publicly in this way. And you guys hit it out of the park. There's so much more to hear. And they're going to write a book. That's what they told me. They're going to write. That's what I told them. That's what I told them. You need to write a book, because what you just said brings hope and healing, and for some of us, gets us on the step to the path to restoration with your words that you spoke this morning. So I'm really grateful. Thank you so much. And can we just thank them again?